See if I can stand in the sun, right? How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
You're here. You're alive. Sun's shining. All right, good. I'll start with a little joke. And by the way, Eric, if you can't hear me, you're welcome to go turn me up. Because I can't hear myself, but if you can,
sure
if you can hear me, you're it's on.
Yep.
So that's why I'm giving you permission.
It's on.
All right, so the joke. Two Christians on the side of the road holding a sign with the words on it, "The end is near." A man drove by, shook his head or his hand out of the window and yelled, "You stupid religious idiots, leave us alone." Then there was screeching of tires and a loud splash. One of the Christians turned to the other and said, "Do you think we should try a different sign that says, bridge out ahead?" That's good, right? The end is near. The King is coming. His coming is coming closer every hour. As we live in this world, we are getting closer to that time. And we can see evidence of the time is near, and it's getting nearer every day. And so we've been studying Revelation. We've been looking at what God the Father told Jesus to tell John. And John wrote it down. He had these visions from the Lord. And he wrote them down, and at times they are very confusing and for us to read. And I'm sure John was thinking the same thing when he wrote it down, because he wrote down these that almost seems fantasy, seems abstract, and yet there's truth in it, and it's talking about a certain time that will come in the future. And so you can find similarities, or the story, the prophecies in Daniel. You can find them in 2 Thessalonians. You can find them in Matthew 24, and on you find these prophecies of the end times and what will come. And when you look at Revelation, and John starts this book with telling the churches to wake up, to not fall asleep, he reminds the churches to not forget their first love. He reminds them to not be lukewarm, but instead be awake, be alert, be wise, be prepared for the coming of the King. Because Jesus comes as King. And so, before Jesus comes as King, though, there will be a leader that will come, a world leader that will come onto the scene, who is going to be a fake Christ, a phony Jesus called the Antichrist. He will come and deceive the nations. Those who don't put their trust in God, they will be deceived. I told you before, the prefix of anti-Christ means against Christ, but it also can mean instead of, or maybe both. In place of, instead of, against. And many times in our history, we've seen anti-Christs, people like Hitler and many others that have killed Jews. And they've tried to get rid of God's people. And so anti is against Christ, and also instead of Christ, there will be one who will come. Jesus said this. He says, "Many will come and say that I am the Christ, or I am the Messiah." And so this is exactly what the end times will look like. There will be a person, physical person, that will say that I am the Christ. But he is a pretender. He is a fake. And we have heard this in our society. We've heard this in media. We've read about this. We've seen videos. We've had conversations about this number, 666. And people know about this number more than John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. But the conversation has been over what is this number and who is the Antichrist and things like that. And those are, in some ways, good to know or try to seek what God is saying, but not to get stuck. Not to get stuck in the weeds of Revelation. There are so many things to look at and to understand, and we will probably not understand all of it. But understand this, Jesus is coming, and He is King. And this will be a short period of time in comparison to eternity. Now, you may hear that number 666 and get nervous. If you got your license plate and it has 666, you might have gone back to the DMV and said, I want to change that. Or your address or whatever. Maybe it's your phone number or your PIN number. You want to change that. That number is connected to something that will come that is evil. And the Bible teaches that there is coming this charismatic world leader called the Antichrist. He will introduce a cashless society. Sound familiar? In fact, I just read an article last week about China doing this, pursuing this idea of a cashless society. This Antichrist will require everyone to take a mark. No one will be able to buy or sell or engage in commerce without the mark of the beast, the Antichrist. In Revelation, that you see the word beast, it is a term that identifies the Antichrist more about the character of the Antichrist than an actual beast. It will be a person. And so this idea, the mark and the Antichrist, it seems to be the most intriguing issues in the Bible. There's more speculation than any other about who this is and what this mark will look like. 10 years ago, we had no clue, right? I mean, we kind of had an idea. Maybe we thought it was going to be a tattoo on our hand or our forehead. On people's hand and forehead. But now, today, it's very clear that the technology is there where there's this microchip. And we've had microchips in animals for years, finding out where they go and finding that when they get lost, we can find them. And in fact, a company has, maybe 6 years ago even, has implemented microchips in people so that they can get their snacks and they can get through doors and they can be identified on who they are. So the technology is there. It's clear. And so, but think about this. The technology is there. We've got all these things going forward to this idea. But think about John. John is on an island. The writer. He's in the middle of nowhere. And the Lord gives him this revelation revealing the future. There were no tablets. There was no internet. There was no smartphones. This is incredible that John would have this kind of insight. The thing is, the Bible predicts the future 100% accurately, with 100% accuracy. God knows the future. And what He says in His Word is true. It will happen. So let's look at Revelation 13. This is, again, like last week, this is not easy. And yet it's truth. God's truth holds water. Revelation 13:16. It also forced, this is the Antichrist, also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. God predicted the future. This is not a risky thing for the Lord, is it? He does not exist in time. He can come in, and he's part of our world. He is present. He is near. But he is not bound by time. And he knows what the future holds because he has created everything. God lives in the eternal realm. God says it will happen. He knows it will happen. He's seen it happen. And he is on the throne of all of time and eternity. And I can prove it to you. Isaiah 46:9-10. This is what Isaiah said, that the Lord said through Isaiah. He says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. To me, I think that says a lot about who God is. He is in charge. He is on the throne. So the Lord has told us he is coming. He will come. But we don't know when. In fact, there's a lot of speculations. Remember those people that have said, oh yeah, he's going to come in 1988 or whatever. There's those predictions. And yet, Scripture says no human knows the time or day, right? So why are we trying to figure that out? The Lord says, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the Lord told us not to be afraid of what will happen. Because when we read Revelation, it's really easy to get afraid. But if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, there is nothing to be afraid of. These things must happen, and then the end will come. And so, we can go down the... We can go down the conspiracy theories. Many people have come up with those conspiracy theories. And I think if you go back to Scripture and you keep your nose in Scripture, you'll know the truth. And you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal His truth to you, He will. And so there are articles out there now that say the vaccine is the mark of the beast. And I just want to tell you that that's not true. That's not what the mark of the beast will be like. True that there are precursors that we are seeing that will look like what we are seeing now, similarities to what will happen in the future. There are precursors to this mark. And when we read the Bible, it is more than just a mark, though. It is more than just a mark on the hand or forehead. It is an allegiance to the Antichrist. It is an allegiance to him himself. No one will take it by accident. However, I believe the rapture of the church will be before this mandate of the mark that will come and that will mandate everyone to have it. But what does that mean for those unbelievers? It means that we need to tell them the gospel. We need to tell them the good news. We need to tell them that this is truth. The world is moving towards this time daily. It is coming closer and closer. But the mark of the beast is still in our future. It's not necessarily now, but we see things pushing towards that technology and one world rule. We see leaders, maybe you heard that term, you know, drink the Kool-Aid. People who have been blinded by the truth, or blinded by the lies, and not believing God's truth. So the mark of the beast is the future. The mark of the beast will be visible. It will be a literal brand of some sort. It will be a giving of given a sign of devotion. And it will be a passport of commerce. So people will know it when they get it. In fact, there will be an angel that will fly in the heavens telling people to not take the mark of the beast, to not worship the Antichrist. So don't freak out if you went to the fair and you got a mark on your right hand. I did. I think it washed off, though. Because a person will have to pledge their allegiance to this false Christ. So when the question has been asked, when will this mark be implemented? During the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is 7 years. There's going to be a one world government, a global economic ruled by one person. You don't need to answer this, but I'm guessing you've heard of the Great Reset. This is all pushing towards that one idea. In fact, I remember a couple decades ago, there was talk about one world rule in our country. And so the world is going that direction, and the scriptures say that will happen. So what do we do about that? Jesus says to look up, to be prepared, to be ready for his coming, to tell people about Jesus, and not to be deceived. We want people to hear the gospel, right? I mean, that's the mission of Jesus. Jesus said, the gospel will be preached to the rest of the world, and then the end will come. So everybody will hear. We know that we didn't go over this scripture, but in Revelation it says there will be two witnesses that will go and witness and help the church by witnessing and telling the rest of the world about Jesus in the end times. And so before Christ comes as king, the gospel will be preached to the whole world. I said this a few weeks ago that maybe you don't remember, or maybe you weren't here. But there's a missions organization that has calculated and technologically figured out how to get the gospel Bibles to all languages. There are only about 400 left to be translated. And they figured out it would only take them 4 more years to get those Bibles translated in those languages. To me, that means that what Jesus is saying, the gospel will be preached to the whole world and then the end will come, is coming. And that's exciting because Jesus will come and he will reign on the throne. But before that, as I said, there will be an Antichrist. He will come and he will, number one, he will deify Satan. In Revelation 13:4, it says, people worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? So ultimately, there will be Satan worship worldwide. We have this in our movies. We see this in TV. Right? Just recently, there was another show that came out named Lucifer. I haven't seen it. I don't want to. We see this where just last, I think it was last Halloween, just saw, you know, you see the people walking in witch outfits, and you think, well, are they really, maybe they really are witches. But we see this, and people, this, the end times, this is what it will be like, and the Antichrist is coming, but it is a temporary thing. The Antichrist will, number two, defy and take the place of Jesus, but this is temporary. Revelation 13, 5 through 6. The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. So his time is limited. He will rule for 7 years. The first 3.5 years will be peace. That is why people will hail him as the peacemaker. In reality, he is the ultimate troublemaker. And so, the last 3.5 years, he will come, or he will have that that throne, that false throne, that peacemaker name. And in the last 3.5 years of the 7 year tribulation, it will be hell on earth. And he will come and he will go and he will go out and kill those who have chosen to follow Christ in that period. So Revelation 13:7 says, it was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Now, if you're considering this to be, you know, a scary thing, I understand. If you're thinking about just the physical realm, I understand that. But if you look at life eternally, then dying for Christ is not, in the realm of eternity, it's really not as scary as one might think. Because we will not die eternally. We will live eternally with Christ. Now the false, or the Antichrist will have, in this period, there will be some kind of assassination attempt. Well, it will be a fatal wound, and the Antichrist will come back to life. And when that happens, people will be astonished, and they will worship him, and they will worship Satan. Revelation 13:11 through 12 says, then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth of its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And again, the beast is a descriptive of the character. The lamb is passive, and the dragon is aggressive and cunning. And so, the two horns, like a lamb, will come and be passive and be peaceful, and then there will be the dragon who exercises authority, and there will be aggression. And the devil speaks through them. Revelation 13:16. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hands or on their foreheads. And so now you might be thinking, well, why would anybody do that? Why would anybody take the mark of the beast or the Antichrist? Well, Second Thessalonians 2 kind of gives us an idea. If you want to turn there, you can, but I can read it to you. The coming, verse 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. It's because they refuse to believe the truth. It's not that they haven't heard the truth, but they refuse to believe it, that they would be saved, that God sends, and then so because of that, God sends a deception, and they believe the lie. The lie goes all the way back to Genesis, doesn't it? When Satan was telling the lie way back when, remember Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were close to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A lot of times we get in trouble without the devil's help. They were kind of teasing themselves, right? They were next to it. The devil comes and approaches them. And he says this in Genesis 3. He says, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, which that's a lie, and or you will die. Oh, the enemy, the cunning serpent said, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And of course, you know the story. She gave some to Adam as Adam was standing there losing his responsibility by just letting her do it, right? He's, okay, whatever. And they both chose to sin against God. And they believed the lies. The lie that has continued on for thousands and thousands of years. The lie that says this, don't believe the word of God. We believe the lie too sometimes, don't we? The lies that say things like, God doesn't really love you. That's a lie. Or the lie that says, why do you even follow him? He's against you. That's a lie. He is not against you. Scripture says he is for you. Or the liar that comes to deceive might say, go ahead and do this thing. No one will ever find out. Well, that's not true either. He'll say to us, oh, it'll be fun. He'll whisper these things in our ears that are simply not true. And the only way to know the lie from the truth is to know good from evil, is to have a good working knowledge of God's word. To read it, to study it, to chew it, and let it get into our hearts, and to live it. All of us have been deceived at some time in our life. All of us have known that something was wrong and we went along with it anyway. I won't tell you the details, but we were just having dinner with my parents, and my dad was sharing a story about what I did when I was 16. The stupidity of my choices. We all have some story, don't we? That we've believed a lie, that we've fallen for the lie, that we've dove into the lie, and we've embraced the lie, and we've sinned against God. So, the tribulation period, Revelation 13, Satan is using everything to get people to believe the lie, to take the mark, to worship the Antichrist, to worship Satan, which is the choice. Either you worship God or you worship the father of lies. And I'm sure that in that period, that 7-year period, it will be pretty popular. There'll be a lot of pressure from people to take the mark. Celebrities will say on social media, I'm sure, I got the mark, did you? Make sure you get the mark. The mark is awesome. The Antichrist is great. They will believe the lie. People will be swept into it because they believed the lies. In life, some people believe the lies over the truth. Remember the story of Billy Graham and Charles Templeton. These two evangelists were great evangelists for the Youth of Christ in the late 1940s. In fact, some even thought that Templeton was a better speaker, more charismatic, better looking, more eloquent of a communicator than Billy Graham. Can you imagine that? And in fact, Billy Graham, he was a son from the South. In his own words, he would say that he was a country speaker. So he was kind of just down-to-earth kind of speaker. And Templeton was more sophisticated. But as time passed, Templeton began to doubt his faith. He began to encourage Billy to do the same. Templeton told Billy, "You can't really believe this scripture. It's not really reliable," he would say. And Billy continued to believe the scripture. But this did create a crisis of belief in Billy Graham. He was at the Forest Home Conference Center in California, Southern California. And in this time, he went up to a tree stump. And he took his Bible and he placed it on the stump. And he prayed and he made a commitment to the Lord to believe in the scripture as it says. He said to the Father, he said, "I accept this as your word. My faith, by faith, I'm going to allow my faith to go beyond my intellect, beyond my intellect questions, and beyond my doubts. Because I believe this is your inspired word." Billy Graham made a choice. He made a choice to believe even when he would sometimes have doubts. And so, leaving that place, Billy went on to preach in Los Angeles and around the world. And Templeton walked away from his faith. He even wrote a book titled Farewell to God. But the story doesn't end there. Lee Strobel, who went to Templeton and visited him in his later years, Lee Strobel was the one who worked for Chicago Tribune. He was an atheist who was set out to disprove creation or Christianity and disprove God. And in the midst of that, he became a believer. And he went to Templeton at one point and he asked and interviewed him. And he asked him about him and his faith. And And to much surprise, Templeton said, Jesus was the greatest man that has ever lived. And Templeton went on to say, you know what, this may sound strange, but I adore him. I would even say I miss him. And Lee Strobel was surprised by what Templeton did next, and that was Templeton wept. A little time after Charles Templeton was on his deathbed, and his wife said while he was there, he said to her he saw angels. They were beautiful. And he said, I see them now and they are waiting for me. I'm coming. So to me and to Lee Strobel, thank God, Charles Templeton, the evangelist who became an atheist, wrote a book titled Farewell to God, came back to God, and believed. But Billy Graham never stopped believing. You and I have the same choice today. Every day, we have a choice. We can go and watch TV, listen to music, and go on social media, and we can believe the lies. We can believe the lies or we can believe the truth. What do we fill our minds with? What do we fill our hearts with? Is it God's truth? Or is it the lies of the devil? Back to Revelation, the Antichrist will come and he will exalt himself. He will build a temple. So remember, there was a temple that was built and it was destroyed in AD 70. And in fact, I've heard rumor that the Jews have for years and years and years been prepared to rebuild the temple. But in this case, the Antichrist will come and he will exalt himself and he will build a temple and he will go in there and he will exalt himself and make a statue. And this is what the abomination that causes desolation in Matthew 24, Jesus says in verse 15 through 16. So when you're standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. The Antichrist will erect a statue or an image of himself, and he will make people worship him. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says he will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God and is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So this marks the second half of the tribulation. He will hunt down followers and he will make them worship, and they will have to just choose. Kind of reminds you of that story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember? Nebuchadnezzar, he erected this statue of himself and he said to the whole nation, everybody will bow down to my statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they do? They stood there and they said, we will not bow down to that statue. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, I will throw you into the fiery furnace and you will die. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say? They say, go ahead. We are not afraid to die, and the Lord will save us if he chooses to. And you know how the story goes, right? They're thrown into this 1,000 degree furnace, and three of them were in there at the beginning, and they saw a fourth person in there who was Jesus, and Jesus was protecting them. And Nebuchadnezzar was just blown away, and they came out of that furnace with no black, no ash, not burnt, not singed, and they stood their ground for the Lord. It's a similar story that will happen in the end. But it's not all bad news. it's not all bad news. In fact, we're going to, in about 2 weeks, we're going to look at Revelation 14. And Revelation 14 gives us a picture of what will happen. And remember, I told you that Revelation is kind of circular. It's kind of, you'll see parallels overlapping. So this vision goes into heaven. Revelation 14, 1 through 5. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who are the Jews, who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. They sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except for the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remained virgins. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They were blameless. God protected them. And they are the 144,000 that will proclaim the gospel. They will come to know Christ, these Jews. They will realize that the Antichrist is false, and they will proclaim Jesus as Lord, and they will proclaim it to the world, and God will protect them. And God will protect us in the sense that we have eternity with Him. He will never lose His children. I've left my children in the car once or twice, but I've never lost them. Jesus, or God the Father, will never lose his followers. And as you look at Revelation 14:1, just real briefly today, it says they will have the mark of the Father. This is kind of, I would think, you've got the mark of the Father on you if you're a follower of Jesus. You got it's like tattooed on your forehead. I'm not cool because I don't have a tattoo, so. Other than I have that on my forehead, I'm a follower of Jesus. I have the Father's mark. And so, following Jesus is an everyday thing. It's an everyday thing to choose to follow Jesus. It's an everyday thing to choose to believe the truth that His Word says. To do what Billy Graham did and say, look, my intellect is as far as it can go. I'm going to just have to believe and step out in faith and believe, even though I'm having doubts today, I'm going to believe that what Jesus says is true and that He will reign on earth. He will come again. Walk with God. If you know Jesus now, He will know you then. If you say yes to Jesus now, He will say, enter into my kingdom then. And He will say, if you don't know Him, He will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. So the question today, the question is not just for us, but it's for our friends, it's for our family, it's for our neighbors, it's for everyone. Who are you following? Whose mark is on you? Is it the Antichrist or is it Jesus Christ? Is it Emmanuel or is it Jezebel? Is it God or is it Satan? Jesus said, you either are for me or against me. Choose today whom you will serve. Choose every day that you will serve the Lord. And you won't be deceived. Jesus is coming again. He will reign on earth. He will reign over all heavens and earth. And He is King. And choose today who you will serve. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And as I've said before and as I've prayed this before, it's sometimes like a double-edged sword. your word says it's a double-edged sword, and it's hard to understand, but it's also hard to accept at times. And so we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to believe. Lord, that you would help us to follow you. We choose you today. We choose your lordship today. We choose you as the Messiah, as King today. May we thwart the lies of the devil by your word, by your truth, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen.
Stand with us as we close.